Until the Binds of Death Have Been Unwound, written by Sun Discus and read by Flower Parish. This is a Batman fic, rated for teen and up audiences, featuring the relationship Tim Drake and Jason Todd. This is an alternate universe, Hades video game fusion, alternate universe, ancient Greek religion and lore fusion, in which Jason Todd is Robin, Tim Drake is not Robin, and in which Jason is currently dead and Tim is a particularly relevant demigod. This fic has a hopeful ending, and is part one of the Got a Lot to Learn series. They're skirting the banks of the Lethe, close enough to Asphodel that Tim can feel the rocks growing warm through the soles of his stolen boots, when Jason speaks for the first time. It's just a sound at Tim's shoulder, small and unintelligible. Tim glances over to see Jason blinking, eyes actually focused on Tim. "Who are you?" Jason says again, voice sandpaper rough like he hasn't had water in days. 96 days and counting, to be more accurate. For a moment, Tim is almost dizzy with relief. Jason has been looking more solid the further they've climbed, his tattered uniform going from nearly gray to distinct reds and greens and yellows, but he'd been silent since Tim found him. Tim has, understandably, been catastrophizing about it in his head the whole way through Tartarus. "I'm Tim," Tim says. He's not sure if he should offer a handshake. His time among Gotham's elite never included an etiquette lesson for when you've been walking beside someone in the underworld for hours, but they were too catatonic for introductions, and now the window has kinda passed. So he opts for a little wave and immediately feels ridiculous. Jason keeps staring. Tim tries not to fidget. He's wearing a chiton and belt he stole off a faceless spirit in Elysium, and grips the sword he lifted from the same spirit. He's actually gotten pretty decent with the sword since he's been down here, though he's not sure exactly how long that is. Finding the Court of Hades had been easy. Finding Jason Todd's soul in a far-flung corner of Tartarus, tangled in threads of chaos left over from the Joker, that had been harder. It took long enough that the soles of Tim's boots have nearly worn through in places, and there are only, like, two or three rivers that are actually safe to bathe in. So at this point, he's more covered in dust and sweat and ash than not. "Tim who?" Jason asks. They're alone for the moment, but Tim thinks it's probably a bad idea to say his full name. He's not sure how fast word spreads down here. "Just Tim. I'm from Gotham. I came to get you." "To get me?" Jason echoes. He blinks again. "Because I died. I'm dead." "Yeah," Tim says. He scrambles up a craggy incline and hears Jason follow with far more grace. It makes sense. Jason is Robin, after all. "At least, right now you are, but we're going to fix it." Tim hasn't just been searching for Jason these past however many weeks. He's been mapping the ever-shifting gates and fields and chambers of the underworld. And if he's right, if they've gotten here fast enough, there should be a hidden gate to Asphodel right here. "Fix it," Jason says. "You." "Me," Tim says. He shoves open the gate, wincing at the scrape of stone on stone. A wave of sulfur-tinged heat rolls over them. "Come on, something might have heard that." Jason frowns. "You're just a kid." "You can't call me a kid," Tim says. "You're only like 15. I'm not sure if the months you've been dead even count." Jason makes a skeptical noise. "Listen, it doesn't matter how old I am. I'm getting you out of here. Back to the surface. Back to Gotham." Something stirs in the distance, and Tim swallows. "You just have to trust me." "Do I have a choice?" "Yeah," Tim says. "But the other option isn't a very good one." Jason gives him another long look, eyes glowing eerily through his cracked mask. "Okay," he says finally. "Lead the way." Tim Drake's existence is, technically, a lie. The version of Tim that exists for the rest of the world, the small, wan, mundane son of Jack and Janet Drake, is a polite fiction. Well, the small part is true, and living in perpetually overcast Gotham doesn't do his complexion any favors, but the mundane part, the implication that Tim failed to inherit even the barest thread of divinity, that part is far from the truth. 14 years ago, Janet Drake, fresh off an argument with Jack, went on a solo dig and encountered a husband and wife who happened to know a lot about funerary practices in pre-Roman Apulia. Janet helped them track down an ancient burial site and, it seems, later helped herself into their bed. If Janet suspected whose child she was carrying when she reconciled with Jack, she never said a word, not to her husband, and certainly not to Tim. Tim had pieced it together himself when he was 11, a few months after he spoke to his first spirit, a wisp of an old woman floating above the neon 7-Eleven sign on Kane and 50th. His mother had no record of divinity in her bloodline, and his father claimed only one great-great-great-great-grandmother as a daughter of Hermes, so Tim did his research. The surface priests of Charon and Thanatos can see the dead, but no known divine bloodlines allow their progeny to speak to spirits, with one very specific exception, and filled in the blanks from his mother's field notes the year before he was born, and went, huh. It might have been more exciting if he hadn't already figured out that the Batman, the shadow creature who protected Gotham from undead monsters and living humans alike by night, was probably Bruce Wayne, and Robin, the light dancing at the edge of Batman's twisting shadow, was Dick Grayson, divinity of the four winds letting him tumble and soar from rooftop to rooftop. Later, that Batman's new partner, the one who sat with sobbing children and loved the worst streets of Gotham as fiercely as the rest, was Jason Todd. As far as thrilling discoveries go, not much could top that. The realization that Tim was a demigod, that his biological father was the literal god Hades, explained why Janet forced Tim to wear an obol on a chain around his neck, not, as she claimed, to ward off curses, but to dampen his soul and avoid detection. But didn't change much for Tim, like, materially. He already had two absent parents, what was one more? It wasn't like he could tell anyone, or use his powers more than he already did without risking the attention of gods or monsters or humans who thought demigods should be chipped and controlled by the government. There were actual heroes out there, heroes like Batman and Robin, and Tim was just an anomaly. Then Jason Todd died, and the shadow that protected Gotham turned its darkness inward, and Tim's parentage mattered for the first time. He gave himself 3 months to research and plan as Gotham grew steadily darker, Batman's rage and grief so suffocating even monsters seemed to fear the shadows. On the 90th day, Tim wrote a brief note to his parents, climbed out his window, and followed a drifting spirit to a rusted door in Gotham's sewers that fell open at Tim's touch. Not that he doubted himself, but, well, there was his confirmation. He bit his obol between his teeth and boarded Charon's boat. From there, the underworld was like a minnow trap. All paths led in. Once Tim found the court itself, Hades wasn't exactly thrilled to learn he had a surprise demigod child, let alone one asking to bring a soul back to life. But, and Tim had been banking on this, Hades also wasn't thrilled about the Joker and his ability to manipulate chaos even in the underworld. Hades told Tim, "I cannot find the boy's soul for you. I won't be seen lowering myself to challenge that creature directly. The optics would be more of a headache than you have already caused me." A pause. "But if you can find him, and if you can find your way back out, he may return to the living." Tim had hoped for more. He had expected less. But he had a chance, a real chance, and he was not going to fail. Asphodel is Tim's least favorite layer of the underworld. The air feels like it's scalding his lungs with every breath, the lava burns his feet if he doesn't avoid it, and his mouth is dry enough that he keeps gazing longingly at steaming hot springs, even though they are definitely toxic. But Tim found a shortcut to the surface here before, and they are getting close. Obviously, it's like the number one question, Tim says. He's been rambling to distract them both through the final stretch, even though his mouth feels and tastes like ash. Batman's divinity. Whole forums for debating it. And I never posted, because it felt like cheating, but I still have a theory, and you don't have to tell me, but it would be really cool to know, I think, if it's even divinity at all. Obviously, there's Apollo on Thomas's side, but Martha, is it primordial? I want to guess Erebus, or maybe even Nyx. I'm pretty sure I'm right, like 97% sure, especially with how things were after you, recently. It seemed to track. You know a lot, Jason says slowly. If they weren't surrounded by literal burning lava fields, Tim would probably feel himself flush. Quit while you're ahead was one of his mother's favorite sayings, which really meant stop talking. Tim has never been great at obeying either. Not everything. I haven't figured you out, your divinity. I thought maybe one of the muses, because, you like reading. Jason is silent long enough for Tim to invent 5 fresh new ways to be embarrassed about his theory. Then, Hestia, Jason says. Oh, that makes so much sense. Jason, who protected and claimed the ugly, beating heart of Gotham as his home. How, even from afar, watching Robin had made Tim feel as if he might have somewhere to belong someday. You can pray to Hestia if you want, Tim says. We're close to the surface. It might help. No, Jason says sharply, catching Tim off guard. He turns to see Jason has stopped, breathing hard. I can't. I ruined it. My family. My home. I ran away. I thought... Jason's gaze slips past Tim, staring at one of the burning fields below them, the drifting, groaning souls of the damned. I died, he says. And you're going to undie, remember? Tim tugs on the edge of Jason's tattered cape. Jason doesn't move. I can't, he repeats. Dread settles back in Tim's gut, heavy. You can. Come on, Jason. You want to go home. Bruce needs you. Jason blinks, eyes cloudy behind the broken mask. Bruce. Yeah, Tim says, a bit desperately. Bruce and Dick and literally everyone in Gotham. Everyone who's still alive, Jason. They need you. We have to keep going. It feels like it takes forever for Jason's gaze to sharpen again, but the next time Tim tugs on his cape, Jason steps forward, refocusing on Tim. Then he stops. Your eye, Jason says. One of them. It's glowing. Tim lifts a hand to his face. When had that started? He hasn't seen his own reflection in however long he's been down here. Huh, he says. I'll deal with that later. But Jason doesn't move. He's looking at Tim like he's seeing him for the first time. You're not just a kid. What are you? I'm Tim, Tim says. I'm still Tim. I'll explain more when we get out. What are you? Tim swallows, feeling the rasp of it in his whole body. I'm a demigod. My father is Hades. That's how I was able to enter the underworld. I really did grow up in Gotham, though. I didn't lie about that. But Jason is stepping back. Right. A demigod sent to rescue me? This is a trick. It has to be. You know too much. It's too easy. You're one of his illusions. He's still playing with me. He. Jason means the Joker. The Joker uses tricks, vivid hallucinations, drives people mad with them. Tim's stomach lurches as Jason retreats. It's not a trick, Tim says desperately. I'm real. I came to find you. Please, Jason, we're so close. It's just through that canyon. I think I'll get out on my own, Jason says coldly, and leaves. The lava doesn't affect Jason, but Tim, still technically alive, has to scramble around bubbling patches of it, slowing him down as he tries to follow. Jason! He shouts, losing sight of him through a field of crumbling pillars. Jason's going the wrong way. He's going to get lost, again, Tim's fault this time. The head of a bone hydra bursts out of the ground with a spray of lava, slamming Tim against one of the pillars. Pain flares in his side and he chokes on a scream, frantically clawing his way behind another column as the hydra's fangs gouge through the rocks where he just was. Tim clutches his ribs with one hand, trying to draw his sword with the other, and dizzily thinks, oh, this might be it. He's reasonably certain he won't die, but he will probably be discorporated for a while, and it will also probably hurt a lot. He told Jason where to look for the gate. Maybe Jason will find it after all. But even if he does, the deal might all be for nothing if Tim isn't the one to deliver Jason to the surface. I'll just find him again, he vows, abandoning his sword to fling himself away from the column before it shatters, a splatter of magma catching the edge of his skirt. However long it takes. Hey, Bonehead! A flash of ragged cape against the red glow of Asphodel, and Tim is 9, 10, 11 again, watching Robin swoop from the sky to beat back a monster. Jason launches from the top of a pillar, catching the Hydra's lower jaw and swinging, pitting the monster's own weight against itself. Jason and the Hydra tumble to the ground, and the Hydra thrashes, spewing lava, but Jason dives through the spray and jams a chunk of stone between its jaws. The Hydra screeches and rears back, trying to dislodge it. Come on, Jason shouts, hauling Tim up by the back of his chiton. The ground rumbles underneath their feet, more cracks starting to split open. More heads incoming, Tim gasps, and this time Jason doesn't need to be told twice. They make a break for it, Tim grabbing Jason's wrist and steering him toward the canyon, toward the surface. I decided that if you're a trick, you're a really useless one, Jason tells him as they sprint. You are about to lose that fight so bad. You, Tim says, trying to catch his breath. You believe me now? Get us out, then we'll see, Jason says, and for the first time since he set foot in the underworld, Tim feels himself grin. They emerge in a back alley, the night around them humid and buzzing and unmistakably Gotham. Jason stumbles through first, and Tim watches him catch himself against a dumpster, press a hand to his throat in awe. My heart, he says. I didn't even realize. Before, it wasn't... I'm alive. He is. Tim can sense it, more clearly than he's ever been able to. Jason's soul, slightly scarred, a lingering touch of death, but whole. His own again. You actually did it. Jason shoves off the dumpster, heading toward the street. Toward the light. Holy shit, B is going to have so many questions for you. We'll get those ribs checked out, too. Don't think I didn't see you holding them. Do you need to go home first, tell someone you're back, or we can just... Jason, Tim says. Jason stops. Turns. What's wrong? Should we call for a ride? Tim hasn't moved. He can feel the ground starting to give way underneath him, clawing up his ankles. He'll have to make this quick. I can't come with you, he explains. That was the deal. The boy may return to the living, Hades had said, and then, in exchange for your own soul, the balance must remain. Tim wasn't surprised. Optics, he echoed. Hades had sat back, considering him. I do hope you succeed. I have a feeling you will be an interesting addition to my court, to say the least. What the fuck? Jason is saying now, starting back toward him. What do you mean you can't come with me? They need you, Tim says. He ruthlessly pushes down the acrid fear bubbling up inside him, so his voice is steady when he says, Your family needs you. Gotham still needs you too. It's okay. It's not. What did you do? The ground is up to his knees. Tim looks up and memorizes the sight of Robin looking back. Robin, knowing who he is. Robin, alive. I'll come back, Tim tells him, and smiles again. I have a lot to learn, but someday, when I'm strong enough, I'll figure out a way. No, Jason says. No, no, kid, Tim, call it off. Take me back, make a different deal. You hear me? Tim! The last thing Tim sees is Robin reaching for him, a silhouette against the distant Gotham streetlights, and then the underworld takes its due, and Tim is gone. Five years later, the asphalt in that same alleyway splits open, and a demigod with one glowing eye and a red and green chiton hauls himself out of the earth. He lies on his back for a long minute, gasping for air almost like he's forgotten how to breathe, and then he slowly, painstakingly, hauls himself to his feet. Already, his borrowed time is ticking down, but he pushes forward, drags himself into the beating heart of the city, returning like he once promised. He has work to do. The end.